This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 13 for Sunday, August 19th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network. Welcome.
Lucky number 13.
Lucky number 13. That means a quarter of a year.
Wow.
And we haven't given up yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. This last week was recovery week. From the DC show, I'm glad it's over. But
the
it,
show or the week?
The week. Well, you know, it's always rough. Just trying to catch up and trying to get some sleep.
Oh, that sleep thing.
You know, and you're still getting up at 6 a.m. to go to work. But anyway, I'm glad. I think I'm caught up. I don't know about you, but
not yet.
Anyway, it's first weekend. We've been able to sleep in past, you know, a reasonable time. So anyway, I'm going through trying to unpack a few things, although we don't have much place to put things, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But one of the items I forgot to mention during the podcast earlier this week that I did, something I acquired in DC that I hadn't mentioned, I thought would be a good topic for this week and kind of encompasses maybe the Esterbrook portion of the show. Many people aren't aware of this, but Esterbrook actually manufactured nibs other than Renew Points. Now, I'm not talking about dip pen nibs. I'm not talking about the 14 karat nibs that they made for the early pens, the eyedroppers, or the relief nibs that they made for the Conway Stewart made pens. But these were nibs made, as Esterbrook called it, for repairing ordinary fountain pens. These were available in numbers 2, 4, 6, and 8 size, and both in gold-plated and two-tone finish. So you could have a nib that was made by Esterbrook, a company who you trust, and put it into your ordinary fountain pen.
Ordinary.
Ordinary. Isn't that funny?
As opposed to Esterbrook.
As opposed to Esterbrook, which is extraordinary, I guess.
Yes.
What is interesting... and, you know, otherwise be incredibly difficult to know, is that these nibs don't say Esterbrook on them anywhere. Hmm. So trying to find one in the wild is incredibly difficult. They're simply marked dual gold or plata gold in the case of the two-tone nibs. And you can't really see it here, but here's a number 8 nib. You can kind of see it has kind of a reverse platinum gold mask. Most of the time you see like Schaefer's nibs were platinum on the tip and gold on the rest of it. This is the reverse. It's gold on the top and platinum on the bottom.
I'm just dying to make some platypus joke, but I'll control myself. Plata gold or dual gold?
Plata gold or dual gold. In fact, okay. they actually do show up in the catalog. This here is the 1941-42 catalog, and you can see them right here, right at the top.
Platypus nibs.
Yeah. in true Esterbrook fashion, however, they are actually assigned a 4-digit number.
Cool.
So in the case of the gold nibs, gold plated, I'm sorry, 2233, 4233, 6233, and 8233. The two-tone nibs actually in the catalog are incorrectly marked. But the two-tone nibs are actually 2234, 4234, 6234, and 8234. Cool. This particular box has several of these numbers. They're individually packaged in a cute little envelope.
I like that.
Yeah. And up on the top here is marked in pencil the number. So it further validates the fact that, you know, these indeed are what they are. Of the 8 varieties possible, this box, particular box, has 5, only missing the 2000 series, the 2233 and 2234, and the 6234 two-tone nib.
And that's something to look for.
Yeah, that gives me something to look for. Now I know what I'm looking for here. I've seen it in the catalog before, but never in person. Now, that's all cool. But what else is neat about this? Well, for starters, this was actually shipped U.S. mail with a 1.5-cent stamp. can see it on the side of the box here. And it features President Harding. So this stamp was issued around 1930. And the postmark is very simple, trying to find a date on this. It only indicates there's a number 4 and then Camden. Okay, so that's cool. But even more interesting is not just the fact that Estabrook made nibs marketed towards fitting conventional friction feed, nib feed sections, but the address on the top, which I haven't mentioned yet, is pretty cool. So here's the size of the box. It's got the nice Estabrook logo. I got Mr. Estabrook right there. The party that this item was shipped to was C.E. Barrett and Company, 315 South Peoria Street in Chicago, Illinois. Attention, Mr. Edward C. Fagg. Now, for some of you, that name may ring a bell. C.E. Barrett and Company was Clarence E. Barrett, who made parts and subcontracted them out for many other companies, most notably Kraker, and was involved in a 1915 lawsuit. Ooh. Of Schaefer versus Barrett.
Scandalous.
Scandalous, yeah, absolutely. which really was essentially the Schaefer versus Kraker lawsuit, because Barrett was just simply making the caps and the barrels for Kraker, who was allegedly infringing on the Schaefer double bar patent. But I digress. Barrett is also known for producing parts for the pens themselves for National Pen Company of Chicago, Illinois, which included well-known brands such as Century, Diamond Metal, Gold Bond, Gold Medal, Gold Crown, Good Service, Lakeside Lincoln, National, New Lincoln, Webster, and many others. So that's kind of cool. Estabrook sent nibs to Barrett and Company.
So Estabrook nibs could have gone into some of those pen brands?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know why they would have sent them to Barrett. It's possible. Now that I know what they look like, we can take a look and see if we ever come up with any.
Very cool.
And also I decided do a little quick research if I could identify this this Mr. Edward C. Fagg character. Now, who was he? You know, why would he be having nibs sent to him? Well, he must have been a salesman. Apparently, later on in the 1960s, he shows up in Auto Point newsletters, and it was one of their top salesmen, almost always topping their list for orders and sales. And apparently, he was also, while he was still with Barrett and Company, toward the end of Barrett's existence, probably, he was granted a design patent for a hooded nib pen in on May 22nd of 1945.
Cool.
So there we have it. We have this little interesting box. It was mailed out and mailed to Barrett and Company. And you don't see these nibs too often. So I'll try to get some pictures and put them up on the website. Little blog post, maybe kind of interesting to see them. So.
And now they end up in our humble
hands.
Pen place.
So that's the cool. The only other item I think I bought in DC, unless I forgot something else. So,
well, you were pretty excited about that.
I was actually. I've been after this box since Chicago of I think last year.
There are stocking laws.
and finally made the deal, which I think was exceptionally fair. So, there it is. In other news, we have some progress moving forward in our own personal little pen room.
Oh, I'm so excited. Our carpenter Joe was here most of this past week during recovery week. I'm thrilled he was here, but the very first day he was here, I helped him with concrete, and I'm still feeling it. So maybe part of that I wish we'd maybe put off till next week, because that was not the week to start lifting 50-pound bags of concrete and trying to pour them. And we actually burned up a drill mixing the concrete. I mean, flames, people. We're talking flames. It was kind of cool.
All in the name of pens.
Yeah.
That's how serious we are.
An old drill than a pen. Yeah. But the pen room is starting to take shape. Our house is an older home with some... let's just go with questionable electrical work done by the former owners, who we call Dumb and Dumber. and for legitimate reasons. Joe's been working hard to replace some of the weird wiring and eliminate any leftover knob and tube, and he removed an entire electrical box that we didn't need. One of the perks is I will have two extra outlets in the kitchen when this is all done, which is going to make me super happy. Maybe now we can actually use the microwave without blowing a fuse to which the TV and our son Garrett's computer, those are attached to that. So that you can't nuke something and watch TV and use a computer all at the same time.
I think there's something in there with the toaster or the coffee maker too. I'm not sure.
All I know is the microwave doesn't play nice with anything on that outlet. So to have its own dedicated outlet and another one in a different part of the kitchen, I'm really excited.
Awesome.
And so we worked with this really cool self-leveling cement. Really messy when I helped, but it was kind of fun to watch him spread that out. All the walls are now framed out and ready to run the electrical and the Ethernet wires. And then when that's done, add the insulation and drywall. He's also building some custom pen storage, shelving, and some other storage pieces. So we're really excited to see how fast this is all coming together.
Yeah, the big nerd or geek that I am, we're putting in a patch panel and Ethernet ports for the printers and future workstations and TVs. And yeah, so that's it's going to be fun.
Thinking ahead, go big or go home is our motto. So we went big. It'll be nice to have the bigger dedicated pen room, and it'll make show prep so much easier because we can just put it all in one place. It'll also mean that Brian's photography studio room will no longer be overrun with excess pen inventory, and my office will finally be a lot more organized.
Cool.
Watch on the Anderson Pens Facebook page as we continue to post before, during, and eventually after pictures.
Yeah, I think some of them are actually on my personal page, but we'll move some of them over as they get a little more pretty.
Yeah. It was a really ugly 70s man cave with really like almost dark ebony paneling and red and gold 70s
carpet
on the walls.
I have pictures of that somewhere. I should put those up.
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah,
it's really bad. So, and then 17 recessed can lights in the ceiling. It's going to be bright and beautiful. Yeah. And the bamboo flooring, can't wait.
Yeah,
it's going to be gorgeous.
And a good place, too, for when people come over and
want to play with pens. Or ink.
And we've had a number of people who we've discovered that actually live in the area that want to come over. I mean, it might be even a good place to have a good little pen club meeting, maybe.
Ooh, Appleton Pen Club could actually like expand.
Isn't that how the Chicago Pen started many years ago?
Eventually, we'll have a show.
Yeah. So. All right.
Well, that's loud and obnoxious. Sorry about that, people.
Maybe that's one of the dual-fold planes flying over.
Apparently. I hope we can edit that out.
We're going to do our best.
All right. Let's see. What else is next?
Upcoming pen shows. We got...
oh, God. More.
More. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's only been a week, so...
I know.
Coming up end of September, Dallas, one of our new favorite pen shows, is on the horizon Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd. We're planning on arriving Thursday evening sometime, sleeping hard and fast, hit the ground running on Friday. Good show. It's really grown a lot over the last couple of years.
Yep.
This is our third year attending. Dallas show, showboys, they're warm. Friendly, very
awesome.
Helpful, and it's grown quite a bit. So we wouldn't miss it if you're in the area. If you're down south, definitely one of the nicer. I hate to even call it a smaller show anymore. It's not as small as
it's almost a midsize at this point. It started out small, but even just in the 3 years since we've been going, this will be our third year. It's definitely grown in size and scope. It's a nice show.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that even next year or in the next couple of years that they've completely outgrown that space.
Yeah,
they're moved on now to something bigger. Yeah, it's pretty packed. So, good show if you're in the area, September 21st and 22nd. Please, yeah, stop by. Good show.
Absolutely. So. And then immediately after that, I mean, literally, oh my God, the following weekend is the Detroit show. It'll mean a couple pretty rough weeks for us since we both still work full time for now. But Detroit is relatively close, only 9 hours or so. Yep. It's also a Friday, Saturday show, which means at least we can recover on Sunday, we hope. But again, a nice little show. Last year it was one medium size kind of a ballroom with a smaller outer room. But traffic was decent. A lot of interesting people came in and friendly organizers.
Yeah, last year is going to be really tough to beat.
yep.
We had a guy, I think it was Friday morning, shows up at the table and he has a binder or a folder or something. He has actual film pictures, not digital pictures that he printed on his computer, of these pens that he wanted to sell. And so I'm looking at him, and one of the first things I see is he has this Weedlick gold-filled filigree matchstick filler.
You should have seen Brian's eyes light up. Like, Christmas.
I said, yeah, we're interested. Would you have the pens with these? Yeah. So we're literally, I'm buying pens out of the back of this guy's truck in the rain. And we're going back and forth because he had some ink later. And then he keeps telling us all this, the stuff that he has that he didn't tell us the time before. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I've got ink. Do you buy ink, too? And we go back out to the car. It's in the parking lot. And, of course, it's the far end of the parking lot. It's not close. It's the far end. And
like you're going to get mugged out there.
Like I'm going to get mugged. I don't know. It's who knows. It was during the Wicca Ball, so anything was possible, right?
Oh, my God.
But, no, it was a good time. It was a good show. And I think that was last year they also had, was it the Toronto Pen Club rented a bus and they brought all the club members to the show on a bus.
It was great. All of a sudden there was this influx of new people, all with accents. And it turns out that they had rented a bus and apparently it was quite the party going down, and then they were all here to play with pens, and then it was going to be quite the party going home. So they were having a good time.
Yeah, it was a good, a pretty good show. So hopefully this year it'll be another good show. So yeah. We have some modern pens to talk about.
We got some
a couple weeks ago, and we really haven't had a chance to highlight them or talk about them much. So,
well, some of them were delivered right before DC. So we literally got them in, checked them in, packed them up, and went to DC. Right before DC, I collaborated with our daughter Lindsay on some new pad and note card designs, which were a big hit in DC. Yep. They'll be up soon on the web. And they include some cool new designs with awesome purses and shoes, close to my heart, and some clearly masculine designs as well. Also have a new line of flowers and designs from nature that have been really popular.
We'd love to show you, but there's hardly any left.
No time these days.
Well, I mean, they almost all of them sold out at the show.
Yeah, so we've got to make some more, which is on my agenda for this coming week. We also have the new Edison Beaumont, of course, and Brian and I each snagged one for our personal use. I mean, for testers at shows. Yeah, that's what I meant. Really pretty.
Yep.
Really kind of fell in love. Good size. We also got in the Conklin Enduras and the Monteverde Napa and the Monteverde Crystal, which I really like. I think one of those just might have to sneak its way into my daily carry. I just haven't decided what color. Don't tell Brian. We also have some of the really cool J. Herbin Anniversary Ink and the Rohrer and Klingner Anniversary Ink as well. And we do have just a couple left of the glorious, gorgeous, mouthwatering Omas 360 in turquoise left in stock. It's just a stunning pen. Coming up soon will be Diamine Ink, yep. Monteverde and Omas Ink, and really exciting are the two upcoming Twisby pens once they're available.
Hopefully. You're completely oblivious to what I was just doing, weren't you?
Yep.
You didn't see me do this?
No.
This pen that I'm showing right here?
Let me look. Oh! Where'd that come from?
It came from my pocket. This would happen to be the new Conklin Endura with the stub nib.
Oh. You know, I think the symmetric in blue and brown may end up being a tester.
Tester, yeah. Yeah, I wish they made it in the Endura, but I don't know. That's really a pretty...
That's a pretty one.
I like this one.
Next week, I get to show off my new... apparently, I'm into brown pens. I've got the blue and brown symmetric and the Bedrock Flake Beaumont, which is really cool.
Yep. So,
all right, about what we snagged this week.
Yeah. The Twisby's coming. I can see that the new ones that are coming in are going to be the Mini, hopefully, which are rumored to be coming in clear and in all black, which I think will be very cool. I can see
stealth.
I can see you grabbing one of those. Now, I don't know. Do we have any indication of what nib size is going to be on these?
Not yet.
We don't know. Okay.
They're always kind of vague until we email and they're like, sure, yep, you can have some. Here you go.
And let's see. The VAC 700 in clear, I think, is the other pen that's coming. So.
Sometime before the end of September is the last update, but that could change at any time.
All right. Well, that'll be cool. I can see something coming our way. But
let's see.
Anything else this week?
The big one.
The big one. Let's not forget about the Schaefer package giveaway. We've been receiving quite a few entries in. This week we got something in from Australia.
Yep.
A couple foreign countries. So there is still time.
Yeah, we've gotten some really awesome entries. Some are funny. One guy wrote in about he was hoping he'd win, but then his wife would steal it. that was cute.
And she wrote one in the same day, so.
Yeah. It was actually kind of a his and hers.
It was cute.
Some interesting note cards, some pretty stationery, even a paper blotter.
Yeah, that was fun.
So keep them coming in.
So until August 25th, which is next week, Saturday, we will accept letters and postcards for next week's Sunday, August 26th podcast drawing. On that day, the winner will be offered his or her choice of a Schaefer 100 pen, which looks like that. This is mine in the metal version.
It's a pretty one.
His or her choice of the Schaefer 100, a choice of a bottle of Schaefer ink, and we're going to throw in a notepad as well, so you got something to write on.
Yep. Pen color choices are the brushed chrome.
That's what it is.
You have.
Chrome, not sterling.
No, it's chrome. Glossy black, the matte black, the matte blue, which is probably my personal favorite, matte gray, translucent blue, or translucent red. And your nib choices are fine or medium. That keeps it nice and simple. The winner will also choose from the 8 Schaefer bottled ink colors, and we'll toss in a notepad.
Cool. Pen, paper, and ink, all to the winner.
Send your entry in the form of a postcard or a letter or a note card. No emails, texts, or other electronic entries allowed. Some of them have been really, really cool. Gorgeous writing, funny comments. Some just had nothing but the name and address of the person entering. It was kind of cute. Mail them to us at Anderson Penn's Schaefer Giveaway. P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
The winner will be drawn at random by our daughter during the podcast.
Unless she has to work, and then we'll wing it.
Yeah, then we're going to have to wing it, which may be a possibility.
We'll make Garrett do it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think that's it for this week.
All right. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online at
email brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
We are on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
We are on Facebook, facebook.com/andersonpens.
We do have a presence on the web, andersonpens.net.
We also have our blog, andersonpens.net/blog.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. See you next week.